We'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us tonight, Vine Grove Baptist Church, for our midweek Bible study. Hope and pray you've joined to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Tonight, I thought it would be interesting and helpful for us to have the scripture and to focus on a study of how did people know that Jesus was coming. And so I try to put it together in a way to where we can learn something. And once again, you will have the handout, the scripture, where in case you will hear those questions, it's always good to say, yeah, I remember seeing that somewhere. And then you pull it out and say, let's talk about it. How did people know Jesus was coming? Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. This is Jesus speaking. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, or Old English, verily, verily, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will be by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Now, the law of Moses, God's law, the Lord said, here, I'm going to tell you all how sinful you are. I'm going to give you these laws, and I want you to know as I give them to you, you're not going to be able to keep them. I'm going to give you commandments, and I'm going to show you in the process of giving you these commandments that you on your own will never be able to keep these commandments. All of the law was given to us to show us that salvation is not in how much we learn or what we try to do and how we try to walk. Salvation has got to be in the coming Messiah. So from the beginning of time, in the existence period, people say, well, you're talking about 4,000 to 7,000 years ago, and I have no idea what I'm talking about into that age. Neither does anyone else. When folks say, yes, but you got to remember now that something didn't exist until this point, and nobody could have written because nobody really was able to write anything prior to nothing. If you're not God, you have no idea what went on before. But it's always been this. God says, I'm in charge. I have created all, and I've created you as an individual to love me and me love you. I'm going to love you first, and in my love that I'm going to give you, I'm going to show you, this deals with the laws, that if I were not God, if I did not love you, then would I want to come and give my own life for you? And I'm coming because I'm going to show you, you can't keep this law. So, they knew it because of the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. They knew that Jesus was coming because of the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Okay, let's look at them, dealing with the prophecies foretold and the prophecies fulfilled. You ready? Number one, in 1400 B.C., Moses prophesied that Jesus would be born of a woman. The Messiah would be born of a woman. Genesis 3:15. From now on, you and the woman will be enemies, as will your offspring and hers. You will strike his heel, but he will crush your head. You remember, this is Jesus talking to Satan. It's a focus of that which is evil. From now on, you and the woman will be enemies. The human race would be enemies simply because of the love of Christ within us. Got to remember, of all the creation, and all that God created, we, the human race, we are the ones that He's chosen to be like Him. And He's chosen us to live with Him. And He chose to love us beyond any other part of creation, even to the point of putting man in charge of His creation. Once again, what we do, we look back and we are seeing that people say, well, if if everybody had a job, if everybody could do this, if then we could live at peace. That has nothing to do with the peace. Adam and Eve was placed in a garden given to them by God. Everything in it perfect. All they had to do is walk around and smell the roses and enjoy. They didn't have to worry about a thunderstorm or anything else because God did the watering from beneath and there was nothing but pure peace. And God said, I want you to be able to do anything you want except for one thing. Do not taste of the fruit that is forbidden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't do that. What did we do? Just like a bunch of hard-headed Army and Marine. We had to push the button. We had to taste of the forbidden fruit. Now, so the Lord says, or Moses is saying that Jesus is going to be born of a woman. The prophecy is in the verse of the Genesis 3:15. Second, at 700 BC, Isaiah prophesied that Jesus' mother would be a virgin. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Okay, it was the Lord Himself that gave us the garden. It was the Lord Himself that said, you see this? This is perfection. Why was the Garden of Eden perfection? Because God created it with His own hands. And God breathed life even into the garden itself and gave it the particular type of life that He wanted it to have. And then He presented it to us. But once again, sin comes in. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, never been a point in history to where God has not revealed Himself to the human race. He has always revealed Himself to us. Now, if He's always revealed Himself, then why didn't people listen to Him? I don't know. Does He not reveal Himself today? And even Christians, folks, we know what we need to do, and so often we don't even do it. So often we back away what we know we ought to be doing and ought to be saying, and we say, now why do I do that? You know, I can't believe that I missed this opportunity. Well, we can believe it because tomorrow we're going to miss another one. Because we get into a habit of worship, or we get into a controlled environment and say, okay, today, and please hear this right for me. I will not tell you that I will sit down and read a verse for the day. When I sat down to start reading, I may read a whole bunch of verses. I may sometimes not read. But I refuse to allow myself to get in a habit, which means what I'm doing is an unconscious act. I do not want to act in a way unconsciously just for the sake of saying, I did this today, I read scripture today, or I read two verses or one verse. Then what happens? Well, our fellow man beside of us says, that's nothing, I read four. Number three, 700 B.C., Micah prophesied that Jesus would be born in the town of Bethlehem. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrath, That's an old name for Bethlehem. Ephrathah, I think, or however it is pronounced. Bethlehem Ephrathah, that was another name for Bethlehem earlier. Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. I wrote in there for you, typed in there for you, from days of eternity, meaning there was no beginning. It's really difficult for us to understand that when it comes to God, when it comes to our salvation, there's no beginning and there's no ending. All right, number four, 700 B.C. Again, Isaiah prophesied that John the Baptist would prepare the way for Jesus. Isaiah 40, verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, everything was in preparation. Remember, God says that there's nothing that happens that he did not plan to allow it to happen. You and I, anything that goes on within our life, that's why we're told that we need to look at that action that is taking place within our life to see where God's message is in that action. That's pretty difficult for us when we're hurting in pain or we're broken, or, you know, we fall into the world of sin. Well, for one thing, God says he's not a part of that one. Folks, God does not even tempt us to sin. God doesn't do that. God will allow Satan to bring before you temptations, but then he says, there's nothing he can bring in your presence that I will not give you the authority to overcome. So what happens? Why didn't I overcome it? I enjoyed the sin more than the pleasure of being able to feel the touch of God. Folks, sin is strong on us. We tell our kids, you know, sin will destroy you. Sin is bad and sin is not fun. And then what happens? They get out into the world and all of a sudden from the worldly human existence, they say, Dad lied to me because sin is a whole lot of fun. But in that sin, what we need to let them know is fun for the moment, but payday someday. The fun part or the feeling or the emotion of an individual who says, okay, I cannot wait to marry that lovely lady, and then I've never understood why after so excitement of getting to marry that fox and that lovely lady of her heart and desire, and a year later, they decide to check out a few more. I have never understood. You know, one thing I did notice, though, and I told you all in all the marriage counseling and all of this, when I would get involved with them, and I always thought it was so strange, whether it's the wife picking several husbands or the husband doing that with wives, but every one of them looked the same and had the same actions as the other one. Been better off just stuck with the same one instead of looking for another one. Don't know where that one came from. Any questions on that or the mic straight? We know that John the Baptist was. Remember, who's the one that Jesus says is among prophets, there's none greater? John the Baptist, his cousin. Number five. 1000 B.C., the psalmist prophesied that Jesus would be betrayed by a friend. Psalm 41, verse 9, even my close friend whom I trusted, he who shared my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Really? 1,000 years? before the prophecy comes to fruition? Really? And they say, well, that's not of God. Folks, everything in the Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, is of God. And people say, well, do you think there's more? I don't think there's any more that we need. You see, the whole focus of Scripture for us is to lead us to Christ. We cannot even fathom what we have. Why would God bother us with the rest of books or anything else? He gave us the basics for worshiping Him. He said, this is how life is going to go. And it goes to 1, 2, 3 from the beginning of Scripture all the way through the end. And people say, well, let me look for more. Start living what we have. Start studying what we see. And I promise you one thing about a verse from God. I can take one verse and I assure you, multiple sermons can be preached from that one verse. One thing Mom said to me many years ago when I first went into ministry, first started preaching, when I was so worried and said, Mom, she said, son, it looks like something's bothering you. What is it? And I said, well, Mom, I'd only preached maybe 4 or 5 sermons. I said, I think I've ran out of sermons. And I don't know what to do. And she said, turn the page. Now, you know, I should have caught on to that. Turn the page. I turned the page, and you know there's a whole list of more sermons right there in that Word of God. Number 6, 1000 B.C., David, King David, prophesied that Jesus would be crucified hundreds of years before the invention of crucifixion. Well, you imagine they got all messed up, don't you? What's he talking about, crucified? What does that mean? Psalm 22:16. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. So reckon maybe when we're thinking about this now, we do understand that, yes, God knew what was going to happen to his son. God understood that he wanted to explain to us that every word is from him. Every situation is happening because he loves us. And he says, here's the book on life. We call it the Holy Bible. Use it. Pay attention to my words in it, and you will find the peace you're looking for. The peace with God is God's word within us. It is his promise, we read, not the power of man. It's the promised love of God. He said, I will conquer all things through what? His son. Jesus said, I didn't even say a word that my father didn't tell me to say. Therefore, everything Jesus talked about was what it takes to not worry about hell. So Jesus, ironically, preached 10 times more about hell than he did heaven. Always think that is interesting. Why? Because he was telling them, this is how you don't have to worry about going there. Remember, people will use the concept of hell. And is hell real? Sure, it's real. Real place. It's a real belief. The people have a religion of non-belief in that there is a God. Because there's only one sin that can send anyone to hell, and that's the sin of unbelief. So the Lord comes and he says, okay, I'm going to tell you this. Now, this is what you do, accepting me, and hell has no authority over you. So if Satan even does not have authority over us, once we've accepted Christ, then the question remains, why do we keep doing the same dumb things over again? It's because we're human. And it's because that our whole life on earth will be spent on a journey that God has told us to take, which is a journey through this world, every one of us different, every one of us different, and with a different task, different ministry while we're in this world. And at some point he says, I'm bringing you home. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would die and be buried in a rich man's tomb. Isaiah 53, 8, 9. You know, there's a big controversy going on this right now with the... It's amazing to me how the controversies begin over Scripture dealing with, well, you literally believe this? Folks, I'm one that literally believes and Jonah was swallowed by a sea monster. And the whale, we just said, is a big fish. But, I mean, it was a monster according to the translation. And if God wanted to create that monster just for that particular thing, he could have, right? That's called faith, I think. Isaiah 53, 8, 9. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. Do you think of this? 700 years before Jesus is even born, we're reading about the trial and the conviction. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants. You got to get back to the Genesis to understand that the offspring of Christ will be us, the church. We're his family. But they could not relate to the idea that God would have family, or that this Messiah they're talking about, he would have no descendants, okay? No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. No wrong. Always through the whole Old Testament, you will see all the prophets pointing to the coming Messiah, Jesus. Now, when the people say, but wait a minute, how were they saved in the Old Testament? Well, we as New Testament believers, we understand that Jesus is the only way to salvation. And Jesus wasn't born then. Jesus was not born then in the human sense. But the Scripture is filled with times where Jesus walked among the prophets. It is filled with the truth that he loves us. So the people of the Old Testament are in heaven. Why? They believed in the coming Messiah, as taught. The people of the New Testament believed in the Messiah that they were looking at. And the days of the church, or the church is a period of grace that the prophets had prophesied one day this is going to happen. And we're living in that age now, and we believe in the Christ that has already come and was before and is coming again. Same Jesus, same belief, different generations and folks, language barriers and generational divides do not affect the power and the love of our God. Number 8. Both David in 1000 B.C. and Isaiah in 700 B.C. prophesied that Jesus would resurrect from the dead. Psalm 16:10, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. He's talking about Jesus. Got it? Okay. Isaiah 53, 10 through 12. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet, when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. That's us. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. Listen to that. He was satisfied in taking our punishment for us. And because of his experience, he experienced a human existence. Because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. This Jesus' crucifixion was the plan before time began. Satan just didn't know it. Folks, Satan does not know. He is not omnipotent. He does not omniscient. He does not know everything. Gosh, that's strange, because I know a lot of people who tell me they know about everything. But the Bible says Satan didn't. Okay, for he will bear all their sin. Listen to what God says. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. Ah, what do our warriors of the day do? Out of love for country, love for God, love for family. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for who? The rebels. That's why he was there. He was there to give them the answer to the peace. And folks today are crying out, please, somebody, allow me to find peace. Do you realize, once again, that state of Kentucky, it remains number one, of course, in child abuse and in teen suicide and with a whole focus of the new drugs, old drugs and all. Why do people want to get high? Why do they want to get saturated with a drug so they don't have to deal with life? And yet the very drug that they're taking is destroying the life within them. They will not find peace through that. Never have been able to. How do I know? They keep taking more and more and more because they don't want to have to deal with the rest of today, much less tomorrow. And the Lord says, I'll bring you peace and I'll give you peace. Now let me tell you all something in saying that. God says that the physical body, Satan attacks. See, Satan only has authority over my old nature. He has no authority over the new. He has no authority where God has me. Your battle and my battle deals with the human existence, old nature fighting inside of us with our new nature, right? We understand we don't want to say it out loud because somebody, I think, will really warp. But we know that battle goes on inside of us. And the Lord is watching us and loving us as we battle. But folks, some people give up the fight. And a lot of that goes around, folks. But Jesus said, here's the plan. Here's the plan for inner peace. But there is also a plan for what God gives science, the knowledge of healing the human body, of taking what doctors say, okay, this is what you need to physically override an early death. Do we not take it? And if we don't take it, does that mean we commit suicide because there's a cure and we won't take it? And then if I don't take it or do take it, and then the next item comes up and I'm realizing, wait a minute, I'm living because of that particular medication that the doctor has given me. So have I then pulled away from God a natural death because I'm taking this? Folks, that stuff, you know, you just get in a circle with it. And then it's according, here's how normally you will hear it. The individual talking about it will always pick the way that they didn't choose, and they will call that sin. But if somebody in their family has done it, then it's not sin, because, I mean, it's foolishness. And God says, look, here it is. I will give you life. I will take care of you. I'll give you long life. Don't question the idea when the doctor finds a cure for cancer. Well, no, we're just not going to do it, because I do not want to challenge God in my human body because of this disease. God says He does not give us the disease. He does nothing that's going to happen that's going to harm us. God lets us know disease comes from the human sin. Disease is here because of us. Luke 24, 44 through 45. He said to them, this is what I told you. Now Jesus is standing there. He's talking to His disciples. But at this time, He is in His glorified body. This is a point where He's already been resurrected. And see how He explains this to them. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Now, you want to bet that didn't confuse them? He's standing here talking to them as in past tense. But now He's in His glorified body. He's talking about when I was with you. Remember, boys, when I felt the pain you feel? Remember when I cried when you cried? This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So therefore, what do those of us who want to work up studies do? The Lord said that everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Where would I naturally go? Law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, right? Okay. Then He opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. Folks, the same Scripture that Jesus opened their mind up to was not even written that we have today. He opened their mind up to the Scripture given by God Himself into the heart of born-again believers. It is God opening up the Scriptures. We will know Him personally. It's not what somebody tells us. It's our no-so relationship with Christ. When, you know, somebody just told you that Jesus will live in you. Well, I know they did. Jesus told me. You know why He told me? Because He's living within me. And they said, do you realize how crazy that sounds? And I'm so thankful that I sound crazy to the world. If I didn't, there'd be something wrong with my relationship with Christ. For they, His own mother and brothers said, we've come to get Him, for we know He is out of His mind. Oh, how great it would be to be out of the mind like that. Luke 24, 25, 27. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning Himself. That's how we know it. Number 10, and last. And by the way, He's coming back. All of this other focused on the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. And I just thought, we needed to look, by the way, He's coming back, because He said so Himself. John 14, 3, 4. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Isn't that a blessing? For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you and have a blessed rest of the week.